Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Your word will go forward. Thank you, God, for the scriptures that were read and prayers that were prayed, songs that were sung, instruments that were played. For Holy Spirit, you have led and guided this service thus far. Continue to enlighten our understanding as we hear from our Father. We thank you in advance, God, for what you are about to tell us. In Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray, amen. Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. Honor to the triune Godhead, to these preachers, our first lady, Sister Green, ministers' wives, our deacons, deaconess, to this Mount Zion ensemble. Amen. To these ministers of music, to this choir, to all of you, God is good. God is good. Exodus chapter 14, commencing at verse 8. And here is the word of God. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, overtook them, encamping them by the sea, besides Pharaoh-Harah and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord and said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dwelt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It is not that the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. But here it is, church. And Moses says, fear ye not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today for the Egyptians. Whom ye see today, you shall see them again no more. And here it is. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I want to talk about it was all a setup. God bless you. Thank you, Urshits. It was all a setup. In the biblical science of interpretation, which is hermeneutics, the principle of first mention is that when a word is first mentioned in the Bible, it is how it is mentioned determines its usage throughout the Bible. And in our text, one of the subjects of first mention is the land of Egypt. And if we apply the principle of first mention to the land of Egypt, you have to go back to Genesis 12, 10 through 20. And in those verses, you will discover that Abraham walks out of the will of God to go to Egypt. And there was some negative consequences. And so when Egypt is first mentioned, it is mentioned in a negative context. And so each time Egypt is mentioned, it comes with it a negative context. And it sets the tone how the word Egypt will be viewed throughout the Bible. In fact, Egypt was a type of world. It was true because the people of God was in bondage there. And in bondage, they were under a tyrant who put taskmasters over them as they tried to make bricks without the usage of straws. For those years, they were in bondage and captivated. But yet, once God set them free, and they ran across their first hard problem, the first thing they desired was go back to Egypt. Watch this. While they were in bondage, they were praying for deliverance. God sent a deliverer by the name of Moses. Through Moses, God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And as soon as they are faced with their first roadblock, the first thing comes to mind is to go back to Egypt. You're not getting it. Let me say it again. Well, let me use you. Let me use us. We, our forefathers, were in bondage. We were treated like animals. But God sent us a deliverer by the name of Martin Luther King. And through him, God delivered us out of our personal Egypt. And soon as we got set free, as soon as we no longer have to go through the back of the restaurant, but we own the restaurant, as soon as we stop picking cotton and wearing cotton, we forgot about the God that we was praying for and praying to when we're in bondage. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God had to step back with us and said, you have enjoyed your liberty too much. And you enjoyed it so much that you forgot about your deliverer. And watch this. Don't get wrapped up in the deliverance and forget about the deliverer. So God stepped back and say, COVID, come here. Oh, y'all ain't got quiet on me now. Show them who God really is. Then you got confined in your home. You couldn't go about like you used to go about. And guess what? We start calling on God from our individual's home. And yet God heard us all at the same time. Y'all not getting it, but here we are today. We have assembled back in the house of God. And there ought to be some witnesses here that I'm going to do better before COVID than post-COVID. If I was quiet before, I'm not going to be quiet now, because he has been good to me. Whew. So here they are. They are delivered. They've been set free. God led them to this place. A Red Sea in front. Mount Farahara on the left. Mount Baal-Sepham on the right. And a hostile raging army closing in from behind. Y'all not getting me. Hear me good. God was leading them. Let me say it again. God was leading them. He led them to a Red Sea. One mountain on the left, another mountain on the right, and the enemy closing in from behind. And instead of them saying, the God who sent 10 plagues can handle a boxed-in situation, they begin to fear and say, we would rather die in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. And what I'm trying to tell you, Mount Zion, is this. When you get boxed in, don't feel that God has abandoned you. You ought to be rejoicing when you get boxed in, because you the one jumped up in church and said, my steps are ordered by the Lord. And maybe God ordered your steps to a boxed-in situation, to allow your enemy to start closing in and just thinking that he's going to destroy you, but God lets your enemy get close enough not to destroy you, but to see your deliverance. I wish I had somebody to testify. Sometimes you don't have to be a sinner or sin for trouble to find you. You can just be in God's will and trouble will find you. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything to anyone, but trouble still found your address. I know you're shouting, and I know you're running, and I know you're praising God, but underneath it all, you have to deal with some stuff. I know you're looking good, sitting prim, proper, and correct, got on your Sunday best, and you came here with praise and worship on your mind, but deep underneath it all, you're dealing with some stuff. I wish I could talk to somebody right now. You're looking good, hair all good, nails look good, you're smelling all good, and your praise is up and your worship is up. You're waving the hands in the sanctuary. Some of you can't keep still because God been so good to you. But underneath the surface, you got to admit, preacher, I'm dealing with some stuff. You didn't do anything wrong. Wrong just came to your address. But let me encourage you this morning, before you throw in the towel, before you wave the white flag, before you retreat, recall, and rescind, I come by to tell you, you've been set up. And y'all ain't gonna believe this. You ain't been set up by the devil. God has set you up. And it's not a bad setup. It's a good setup. God will allow you to go through what you go through just to set you up for intense celebration. How many can testify before I move on? Say, preacher, I've been through some stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going through some stuff. Preacher, I got some stuff ahead of me. But I've come to discover, regardless of how much stuff, it can't hold down my shout. I don't care how many problems, it can't hinder my praise. I don't care how much hell, it won't stop my hallelujah, because he's been good to me. Can I get somebody to testify? With the stuff in your life, I can still stand on my feet and say God is good. I can still stand on my feet and say I thank God. USFDA, United States Food and Drug Administration. Before the food hit the stores, that you can purchase it and consume it, it has to pass inspection. In other words, before you put your hand on it, before you cook it and consume it and digest it, it has to pass inspection. Watch this, you're not getting it. If you see it on the shelf, then you have the confidence in knowing that it passed inspection, that it went through intense testing to get to the place where you can buy it and consume it. So when I go through something, then I know it is already approved and has been inspected by God. If I'm on the shelf of heartache, then it's already been approved and inspected by God. Let me tell you where I'm going. If God have already approved my problem, he've already got my deliverance set up. If God have approved Satan to come to my address, he already got my situation in his hand. That's why you can praise God under intense scrutiny, because if he allowed it, he's inspected it, and he has your deliverance already set in his hand. And that's why the old folks say, I will praise you all the days of, matter of fact, let me just, Barbara Davis said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whatever happens in your life, whatever has jerked you in your life, before it got to you, it came by God first. Before the hell came to you, God already knew it was coming. And if God allowed it to come, then God have already had my deliverance set in play. You ought to tell your neighbor, if you're going through it, come on, tell him, if you're going through it, it's all a setup. Let me get to the text. Watch this. They are boxed in. But watch how God did this. Verses 1 through 4. He after sending the 10 plagues, and after Pharaoh tells Moses, get you and your people out of here. They left. God could have allowed them just to leave Egypt and go into the promised land. But if you discover in verses 1 through 4, chapter 14, that God hardens the heart of Pharaoh. God allowed Pharaoh to begin to think within himself, I ain't going to let him go. You ain't getting away that easy. You ain't going to make a fool out of me. I'm coming after you. That's why I want to tell you, saints of God, don't worry about folk who trying to come after you. Don't worry about folk who's trying to prick you and get you all upset. Sometimes God hardens their heart just to pursue you to show them you can't touch my child. So quit having these pity parties hollering about, I don't know why everybody don't like me. Sometimes God allows this to happen. To let your enemy close in. And before they can put their hands on you, God put his hands on you and moved you out of their way. So he hardens Pharaoh's heart. Verses 1 through 4. But God have already, Rem Dearborn had already set up Israel's deliverance before Pharaoh got on the horse. So that means, write this down. Number one. If it's all just a setup, then that means that my dilemma has a deadline. That means I'm going through it, but I won't go through this all the way. God will allow you to be faced with a situation just so he can demonstrate his power. My brothers and sisters, as they begin the journey out of Egypt, they're happy and they're celebrating. We have been set free. And just a short distance from their deliverance, they are encamped at the Red Sea. Pharaoh is getting his best. His men who are experts in warfare. Men who delight in killing with an edge of the sword. Pursuing after God's children whom he have already set free. Let me stop here and tell you, don't be naive to believe because you got saved today that the devil won't pursue you. That's how a lot of us get caught up believing all this foolishness about once you saved, the devil can't bother you no more. Once you accept Christ, when he see the blood over you, he won't come. That's the biggest lie ever been told. Satan will pursue you. And can I tell you what he's going to pursue you with? He's going to pursue you with what you desire the most. In other words, Satan is never going to tempt you with something you never desire. If it's alcohol, he's going to bring it to you. If it's women, he's going to bring it to you. If it's men, he's going to bring it to you. And how many can testify and say he knows what to bring because you was once dancing with him. You was once partying with him. And he knows what captivates you more sometimes than your own self. Why you think every time you go through hell, the first thing you want to do is go get a drink because you've been delivered from it? Watch this. Your trouble, your heartbreak, your dilemma, your circumstance has an expiration date. In other words, it's with you, but it won't be with you always. Come here, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good. Now, we'll quote that scripture day in and day out, Reverend Slaughter, but nobody have taken the time to dissect it. We quote it because it sounds good, and it makes the people in the church clap. But when you really look at the text, we know that all things, that means your heaven and your hell you're going through, your ups and your down you're going through, your joyful times and your sad times, your happy times and your crying. God said when you put it all together, it's going to work for his good. But then Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint, because my dilemma has a deadline. But this is the one I like. Psalms 30:5 says, but his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure but a night, but joy, y'all just missed the text. Your dilemma has a deadline. Look what he says, for his anger. See, when God get angry with you, God can speak and you can lay down and die. But I think God is just for a moment. See, God don't hold grudges like you and me. We have been holding grudges against each other for so many years, but I thank God that he doesn't hold grudges, because if God holds grudges, he would have let COVID wipe us out of existence. But watch this, but in his favor is life. See, a lot of us say, I want God's blessings, and you should. I want God to bless me, and you should. But you know what I pray for personally? It's not just blessings. It's favor. Because when you're in God's favor, it comes from the word favorite. And if you are a favorite, then you will get special attention. You want to know why that brother and sister in their 80s and still walking good? It's not because they've been blessed. They're in God's favor. Your dilemma has a deadline. But then read the whole chapter in your leisure. But look at verse 13. Watch this. They pursuing them. They're hearing the chariots coming behind. They hear the roaring of the wheels on the ground, the horses. They turn around and they see Pharaoh and his entire army. And they begin to be afraid. They begin to be scared. Children was crying out with fear. But look what Moses said. After they went to Moses and complained, you done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. When there not enough grave space in Egypt, we'd rather die there than to die here. But see, Brother Sapp, what they wasn't getting, if they would have died there, watch this. If they would have died there, they would die free people and not die as slaves. Y'all should have been praising God right now. Some people say, if God is so good, then why have this one gone on home? Well, they have died, but they didn't die slaves to sin. God allowed death to come in when they've been set free. And see, when we lose loved ones, we're not lose because when you lose something, you don't know where it is. But when a loved one transitions, we shouldn't complain to God. We should give God praise. Because he didn't allow death to come in while they were in the world. He allowed them to come into the fold, and then God told death to go and do what you have to do, because they've been set free. Watch this. Moses said to them, y'all ready? Verse 13, he said, listen, I know that looks hard. I know you see a sea in front, two mountains on the side of you, each side of you. You hear the horses coming behind you. But Moses said, fear ye. He said, don't even run. He says, stand still. Now, y'all know, can I be real? Y'all know our culture. We ain't gonna stand still. We gonna run. All it takes is one person to jump up in this church right now and start running, and not full of the Holy Ghost, but running because they saw something. All of us gonna get up and start running. Me too. And when we get out in the parking lot, then I'm gonna ask God, God, what you running for? But I ain't gonna ask why we running, because I'm just gonna trust her enough. She didn't see something. Come on, black folk, don't y'all leave me out here like that. Y'all know us, we ain't gonna walk around asking about what's going on. There's not gonna be no investigations. We just gonna run. And when we get the safety out of breath, catching breath, what happened? You ain't be worrying about trusting God. You're going to get up. Let me prove it to you. Can I prove it to you? Before the pandemic, we were having Bible study. And at Bible study, it was during the times when people was walking in church shooting. And we were praying for them, and we had a good crowd here. And I think it was Lil Gregory. He was a little boy back then. And the youth had something in the back, and he came in the front. He was little. He had a balloon with him. And everybody, we was talking about trusting God and believing God and knowing that God can make a way. The whole Bible study, Teddy, y'all, they was up. Yeah, and he bust that balloon. Pow. Everybody went prostrate. Walkers was thrown away. Everybody just hit the deck. That's the survival nature of us. But look what Moses tells him. He says, don't run. He says, stand still. If you stand here, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Them Egyptians, here's your praise cue that you worry about. Take a good look at them. Look at them good today. Because after the day, you won't see them no more. Somebody will be praising God. God told me to tell you that which is trying to pursue you. God said, don't run, just stand still. Take a good look at it. And you're going to experience the salvation of the Lord, because the hell that you see that's coming after you, after this day, you won't see it no more. How many can just trust God to know, I see it coming, but I know that after God gets through, I won't see it no more? Know why they wouldn't see him no more? Remember verses 1-4, God initiated this. And God can finish what he starts. And so they pursue him. They're running behind him. So your deliverance, secondly, will be on display. He allows Pharaoh to close in enough. Although he had fire holding them back, but yet he allowed them to see Israel encamped by the Red Sea. Your deliverance will be on display. Watch this. It's something I need to correct with you. How many of us saw the movies, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston? Wasn't that a beautiful movie? But there was something in the movie that we loved, but it was biblically incorrect. When Charlton Heston stands on the rock, stretch out his hand, the sea immediately parted and the waters congealed. But that's not why it happened. Oh, y'all ready? Look at verse 21 of chapter 14. After Moses stretches out his hand, Moses stretched out his hand, verse 21, over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea, here we go, y'all, to go back by a strong east wind all that night. In other words, it took a whole night for that sea to depart.